morning. What a privilege it is to publicly read the Word of God. When I was growing up, I was in a church and sometimes people would stand up and I always think that was very peculiar. But as a young person, what it did to me was realise this is God's Word. So hear the Word of the Lord. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20, and we're going to read through to chapter 5 and verse 2. That, however, is not the way that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood as members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you. And now chapter 5, the first two verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks, David, and the music team for leading us. It really is wonderful to be able to praise God together, join together and declare who he is, how great he is. I want to extend a very warm Father's Day to all the fathers here. And I just thought that before we dive into God's Word, I'm super excited to get into this passage together today. And if you have a Bible, I would love for you to open your Bible and be ready to digest this together. Just before that, I thought that I would show you Father's Day card I received this morning because I thought, this is just so, so fitting. It says, for you, Dad, stripped of his youth, his energy and his money, Dad quietly reflected on the blessing of having children. And there's this picture of a very old man chained to the chair. And I don't know, maybe I'm glad that that gives you a bit of a laugh. Sometimes it feels like that. As dads, sometimes it feels like you're on cloud nine, but it's good that we can have a bit of a laugh about it, at least. Anyway, I want to pray as we dive into this and chew on God's word together that he really would have his way with us here this morning. And if you're joining us online, I'd love for you to open your Bibles as well and join us. We're going to have communion at the end of the message. And so really excited to be able to gather around the body of Christ and share in that together. Oh, Father God, you are amazing. And we sing, we declare how great you are. There is none like you. There is no one and nothing that compares to you. And so I pray, renew us in our innermost being, that we would have fresh glimpses of who you are, that we would be drawn deeper into relationship with you, into your love and enfolded in, so that we might be vessels you use powerfully as you fill us with your power, with your life, and with your love to be instruments of yours, to reflect your very nature in this world so that the world would see that there is a God who loves them, who knows them, and who rules. And so we pray, do a deep work in us today and throughout the rest of this series as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Who has ever seen a chameleon? I want you to put your hands up. You might even want to comment. Only a couple of people. That's a bit sad, to be honest, right? who has ever then, because this next question is probably a little bit redundant, if you've who's ever seen a chameleon, hopefully a few people, at least you've seen a picture of a chameleon, and if you haven't, now you have, okay? Who's ever held a chameleon? No? Well, when our kids were little, we went on a holiday to Halls Gap Zoo. And it's a fantastic zoo, it's a family-run zoo, but there they have all of these animal encounters. And you can actually pay to have an experience with a number of different animals where you get to see them, not just see them close up, but hold them. And you can have a chameleon and hold it, and it can sort of walk up your arm. Some people are cringing, others are like, oh, this would be amazing. But chameleons are amazing animals. And they're amazing because they just adapt. And they just blend in beautifully to their environment. They conform to the environment that is around them so that they reflect the colour. They just blend in beautifully so they are not seen in order to stay camouflaged and invisible so that they don't stand out to those around them in this world. However, that is not what as Christians we are supposed to be like. We are not supposed to be like chameleons. And this is really what Paul is saying in these last three chapters of Ephesians, is that if this is who we are as God's children, if we are dearly loved, if we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, then we shouldn't be those that imitate the world. We shouldn't be those that just blend in and conform to the culture around us in order to fit in and in order to be safe. Instead, he says we are to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. We should be different. We should be holy. We should be those who are humble, those who are patient, those who bear with one another in love, and so grow up and mature in our fellowship of Jesus as we love one another and become mature as his followers, as we put off old things and old ways and instead put on new ways and walk in love. Because we are defined by God and what God says about us, rather than being defined by what the world or anyone else might say. This is really the essence of these songs that we've been singing this morning, that we are no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to the culture around us, no longer slaves to people's opinions about us. And so we should not be like chameleons. This is basically what Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 17. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And so he says, basically, this is a Nathan's paraphrase, stop copying the world and being like chameleons and instead start imitating God. Be different as his children who are made in his image. We are to reflect his character and his holiness and love in the way that he has loved us. And the way that this passage describes this taking place is through us putting off the old self, putting away our old life, because it says it is corrupted by its deceitful desires. It's corrupted by its deceitful desires. It's basically all about ourselves. And it deceives us. These desires that wage war within us, they deceive us immensely. You know, they mislead us. I was talking to someone on Friday and they made the observation that the grass somehow always seems to look greener on the other side. But it never really is. And yet somehow we believe it's going to be greener when we get to this landmark or this thing or this happens, whatever it may be, whatever that looks like in your life. But so often we live life desiring the next thing rather than being satisfied and content with what we have and where we are here and now. You know, Shane Willard spoke about this very thing at LifeWell Conference, which you can still access online if you haven't already. And I'd encourage you to do that. And so we are told to put off our old self that is corrupted by its deceitful desires and be made new in the attitude of our minds as we put on the new self. created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Like, just let that statement sink in this morning. We are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Man, what an incredible calling. That is a calling that you and I have. That is what we are created for, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, because his life now fills us when we trust in him by faith. We're filled by the Spirit of God. That's what we're created for, and yet somehow we go after other worlds because we think that they might satisfy us. But it is all such a lie. It's deceptive. How can it possibly satisfy us in comparison to the satisfaction we get in God when we are created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness, to be distinctly different from the world because we are set apart, and so we live rightly and justly and in holiness and in truth as God is. Like, what a calling we have. What a calling you have. That is our calling. That's what God has made us for, that we might shine so brightly of all of his life, of all of his goodness, that we stand out and are so different in this world from those around us because the Holy Spirit lives in us, that other people look at the way in which we live and the way in which we love, and they glorify God for themselves. That is our calling. And so if we are his children, if we really are dearly loved and called to be like him in righteousness and holiness, then knowing his love, a love that changes everything, then it will change us. It will change us if we really know this love that changes everything. It will change us deeply, and it will cause us to put off and run away from those old selfish ways and to walk differently as we put on the new, which is how we are made new in the attitude of our minds, by not just putting off the old clothes, but by putting on the new ones. You know, when we come to Jesus with all of our dirty, filthy, scraggly, old, sin-covered clothes and surrender our lives to him, then he takes them away. And he doesn't just sort of spruce us up a little bit on the outside and say, okay, on your way. He doesn't even say, okay, here's some new clothes. I'm going to hand you a brand new dress or a new suit and just put that on over the top of the old stuff so that we appear to be clean and new, but then inwardly are covered in unrighteousness, filthy. Instead, Jesus completely renews us. Completely. That is why we call believing in Jesus by faith being born again. Being born again, because he takes our old life and he takes all of the sin that sticks to us and leaves us with all this guilt and this shame and a conscience that condemns us, plagues us and weighs us down, and he takes it all and he nails it to the cross of Christ. And as Christ died and is buried, our old life is buried with him. It is crucified with Christ. It is dead and buried. And so now we, as Christ rose from the grave, we are made new in him. Like Galatians 2:20 says, we no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so the life we live by faith in him, ongoing faith in him who has loved us. Oh, he's loved us and given himself for us. What an amazing truth. Jesus' life and righteousness now transferred onto you. That is your new clothing. Jesus' life and righteousness. And so God gives us new clothes, ones that are pure and holy and righteous and spotless and loving, just like Jesus, so that we would put them on and then walk in them by the power of his Spirit. And so what this means is that practically we need to learn how to take off our old selfish ways, our selfish clothes, and put on Jesus, put on love. Because we can't just expect to take things off or to stop doing past habits and then for everything to be made new. Instead, those old, filthy desires, those ways that are corrupted, need to be replaced. By the power of God in us, we need to replace those old ways with new ones, being made new in the attitude of our minds. This is what Paul is saying in these verses in chapter 4 from verse 20. And so we need to be proactive in doing good and in loving others rather than living to please ourselves. So this is about living purposefully for Jesus and for his kingdom, not for our own. It's about living purposely for Jesus and his kingdom, not for ourselves. It's about making choices to choose life and put on Jesus, regardless of the circumstances or the situations that we face or how people treat us. This is what Paul says over and over and over again, putting on the new self, which means that we work as his followers. We work, we do good, but we do that out of being with Jesus, like we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about. We work hard, we do good out of our being with Jesus, being refreshed by him. And so we are proactive from that to then do good and not be idle, because we are spending time where we are just sitting with Jesus and enjoying him. And so doing things is an enjoyable task because we are doing it in his strength and in his power and in his love. So this is what this passage is talking about. And in verse 25, gives us a beautiful example. It says, we put off falsehood and put on truth. We put off falsehood and we put on truth. So we put off gossip. We put off exaggeration. We put off lying. And we refuse to be fake with one another. We refuse to pretend to be something we are not. And instead, we put on our new clothes in the image of Jesus. And therefore, as his children who know how deeply accepted we are by Jesus, we can then be deeply authentic and real with one another. Like, how freeing is that? Because we are accepted, because we are no longer slaves to fear, because we know how great thou art, we do not need to be worried about how people may or may not accept us. And so we can be deeply real and authentic with one another. We refuse to be fake. We don't put on a facade. Okay, we refuse to do anything but speak the truth and be honest and genuine. You know, as a church, we do not want anything else other than real. And sometimes that is messy, right? Sometimes it's uncomfortable and it's confronting because that's what life is like. But we want to be a community that wraps our arms around one another and journeys through life together, whether it's through those valleys of despair where we're walking through them hand in hand, mourning when one another is mourning, or whether it's the mountaintops where we're singing shouts of acclamation and joy for what God is doing in the other people's lives, even while we might be in the valleys. Because this is what community looks like. This is the stuff that has been a part of the DNA of Enfield Baptist Church for years and years and years already. But we want that to be even more increasingly true and so embedded in the fabric of us even more as we continue forward. We want to put off any form of fakeness and instead be truly and deeply authentic and genuine with one another in love. Another example is in verse 28. Have a look. It says, instead of stealing, we work and we do something useful. And so we put off the attitude that just seeks to get. We put off all forms of stealing, whether it's outright taking of things or borrowing stuff without the intention of returning it. We put off overcharging people or what we can get from someone else that it might benefit us or anything else. And instead, we put on our new clothes. We use our hands to be productive, to contribute to the needs of others, not just get stuff for ourselves. I love that this is just so practically the complete opposite of the other. So instead of stealing and seeking our things for ourselves, we completely do a 180 and we go in the other direction, and instead we're giving it away. We see this beautifully with Nicodemus. Beautifully with him and how he is saved. Tax collector who was taking and overcharging, and then suddenly he's saved and says, Lord, I'm going to repay people four times. I'm going to give myself away and what I have. And so we no longer use our hands to get, but to give our money, to give our time, to give our love, to be kind, to be compassionate, to give ourselves away. Do you see how it's not just stopping stealing, but it's then moving in the other direction and being generous, open-handed? Another example is in verse 29. We put off unwholesome talk, and instead we put on that which is going to be helpful for building up others according to their needs, not our own. You know, I think I probably speak for everyone when I say everyone loves to be right, right? We love to be right. And so if we have an opportunity to tell someone that we are right and they are wrong, oh man, we revel in it. But it's not necessarily helpful for building up them. Now, sometimes we need a rebuke, right? We need to be corrected as brothers and sisters in Christ. But even that is not about me being right and them being wrong. It's about, listen, I love you too much to not speak the truth in this. And so we put off the attitude that says, hey, this is about us. We put off rotten talk and anything that belittles or puts down others, and instead we put on love. And we speak the truth in love, and because we hate seeing our family members walk in ways. And so that may mean we use words to build up, words to encourage, words to inspire and motivate, spur one another on, but even rebuke at times, because we hate seeing our family members walk in ways that are damaging to them and to one another. Because we are the body of Christ, what one of us does affects one another. We are all connected. And so we put off any unhelpful words and we put on that which is helpful for one another, to build them up in Jesus, for encouraging them in faith and in love and in truth. Verse 31 says, instead of being bitter and filled with anger and rage and slander, we put on Jesus. And we are proactive in being kind and compassionate, forgiving, even as Jesus has forgiven us. Man, this is hard. But we become active in putting on the new, putting on Jesus through sitting with him, being with him, remaining in him and receiving his love, and then practicing healthy rhythms of relationship with Jesus, through which we then become proactive in doing good to those around us. Starting with the body of Christ and then taking that out into the world. Because we love him most, and therefore we deeply and genuinely love one another. That sums up the law and prophets. This is exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 22. You know, when he's asked what sums up the law and prophets, this is what Jesus says. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Which is the Shema. It's referencing the Shema, which Aaron and I co-preached a number of weeks back, which you may remember. But then he adds to it and he says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so how do we love others? Well, we love them as we love ourselves, which means that we are to take the same energy for meeting that we use for meeting your needs And we use that as the measure of the energy you use in seeking the good of others. Does that make sense? The same energy that we take to meet our own needs, we use that as a measure to meet the needs of others. We put on love. And so we desire and seek the good of others with the same passion, the same creativity, the same perseverance as we use to seek our own needs. And it really comes down to asking, how do I want someone else to treat me? And then adding to it, how has Jesus treated me? And then doing that, as we put on the new self by the power of his Spirit, we put on Jesus, we put on love, and are proactive in loving others. And so practically, this means we come to church asking, or come to church not as consumers, but as those who contribute to community. We come to church not as consumers, but as those that contribute to community, to love. And so not ask, what can I get out of this today? Or how might the speaker speak to me? Or I don't like this speaker, or so on. But I wonder if we shift that to say, instead of asking, what can I get out of this? Instead, we come with an attitude that says, how can I be deeply authentic and real today? How can I be deeply authentic and real today? Putting on Jesus and putting on love means we come saying, how can I be deeply real and authentic? Think about what it looks like for you to put off fakeness and to be honest with one another about your wrestlings, about your doubts, and let's as one another hold each other, not feeling like we need to give out Bible answers and try and correct it or fix it, but be mature enough to hold one another in our wrestlings and our doubts, and just wrap one another, our arms around each other, and then pray for one another. And so come, what would happen if we came saying, who can I pray with and for today? Who, God, would you lead me to? And then don't just say, I'll pray for you this week. Pray for them this week, but do that right then and there. Ask, what new person might I be able to get to know that maybe I've never talked to, even if I've seen them here for years and years and years and I just don't know their name? Who could I talk to that I've never spoken to today? You may just make a lifelong friend. Who could I invite out to lunch or meet for coffee through the week? You know, who could you demonstrate love and hospitality to in a very real and tangible way? Maybe that means you grab a tea and coffee for them when we get outside, or maybe that means you say, hey, listen, I would love to continue this conversation. Can we catch up for coffee? Or what are you doing for lunch today? How about we connect with one another? We come with the attitude that says, not what can I get out of this, but instead, how can I display the love and the kindness and the compassion, the generosity and the grace of Jesus Christ to those around me? Because I'm not here for me. How can I love and encourage someone else today and then pray that the Spirit of God would lead you to the people he wants you to? Act on that. And then when people ask you how you're doing, I encourage you, don't be fake. And if you don't want to talk about it, you can say, I don't really want to talk about it. If you sense that they're not telling you things and they haven't said, I don't want to talk about it, say, I sense that there's actually more to that. How can I pray for you this week? Have these deep, genuine conversations where we can love on one another practically. And then let's take this same love, this same attitude, and ask these same questions wherever we go. Because all of us who profess the name of Jesus are on mission. We are called to be on mission 24/7, all the time. wherever we are. Imagine what would happen when we went to our neighbours or into the grocery store or went out to work and we had the same attitude when we put on love and put on Jesus and said, how can I be deeply authentic at work today? How can I be put? How can I pray for people that I'm seeing in the shopping centre? How can I love on them? Is there someone that needs me to buy them a coffee? How might God want to use us in these places? You know, imagine how much we might see God at work and moving amongst us if we were so conscious of those around us, whether we are here or whether we are out and about. Like, imagine that. You know, I've been so encouraged even this last week of how much I have seen people within this church already doing so much of this and modelling it. It is absolutely outstanding. But imagine, right, if every single person would arm themselves with the same attitude and same mindset and put on love in the same way. Like, everyone here would be seen, everyone would be heard, everyone would be loved on and prayed for. It would be contagious, and it would be the most powerful and beautiful testimony of Jesus Christ to the world. It would be. You know, if you've only been joining us online, then this is why it's so important to come and gather together, because you can join in this through deep fellowship and community. And so if you've never done that, I would urge you to please get in contact with us through the week and then let us connect with you when you come and visit us in person. It is through deep, genuine community with one another that we experience the love of Jesus and are increasingly transformed by Jesus. And then we carry that out into the world. Jesus said, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." What did he say? By the way you love one another. By the way you love one another. Would we be those who love one another deeply and are deeply connected because we are firstly deeply connected to and remaining in Jesus' love? We are abiding in him and how much he has loved us. You know, he was proactive in initiating his love for us. He didn't sit there and say, "Well, I'm going to wait for you guys to come to me." He was proactive in the way that he initiated love for you. And it has changed us and continues to change us. He didn't wait until we were ready, wait until we were deserving, waited until we were right for him. Instead, he took the first steps. He initiated love. In that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died. And it is from his love for us that we are to love like this. We're going to prepare to have communion together. I'm going to ask the band to come. And right now, I hope you've received your communion cup. And I would invite you, because these things can be a little bit tricky, I want to invite you to take a moment now to prepare that and peel off the wrappers. If you're joining us at home, I hope that you have some juice and some bread ready as we prepare to have communion together and to reflect on this incredible, incredible love of Jesus Christ that has been displayed for us. You know, Ephesians 5, as David read for us, Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Follow God's example." Follow God's example. And as dearly loved children, walk in love as Jesus has loved us and given himself for us. And so we are to follow his example of love. Sacrificial, all-consuming. He did not hold anything back, but freely, freely and sacrificially he gave himself away. And so as his children, we are to walk in love and give ourselves away because he gave himself first and foremost for us, completely, unreservedly at the cross. And so we reflect on Jesus. He died so that we might have life. You know, this morning, you know, if you do not know Jesus, if you're joining us online, you do not know Jesus and you've never surrendered your life to him, I pray that if the Spirit of God is knocking on your door and saying, come to me, I pray that you would respond to him. Do not sit idle. Receive his love, receive his grace, and surrender your life to him this morning. Please get in touch with us or come up the front after the service, and we would love to meet with you, pray with you, click on the live prayer button. But for now, Jesus demonstrated his love for us, and on the night before he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave it out to his disciples and he said, take this and eat in remembrance of me. This is my body that is given for you. Such example of love, and eat in remembrance of him. On that same night, nothing like little cups like this, he handed wine around to his friends, his disciples, the men and women present, and he said, this is my blood. This is my blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. It washes you, it cleanses you, it makes you whiter than snow, so that all of your sin, all of your shame, all of the stuff that stains us has been taken away, washed, forgiven. You are made new. And he says, take this and drink in remembrance of me, proclaiming my death, my resurrection, every time you do it. So let's drink together as his body today and proclaim the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Oh God, there are no words that can express how great your love is. We thank you, Father God Almighty. We thank you for the demonstration of your love through sending Jesus Christ, your dearly beloved Son. We thank you for who he is. We thank you that we have been filled and given the Spirit of God because we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so I pray that these deep, beautiful truths would take a fresh hold of us this morning and change us increasingly into your likeness as we love like you have loved us. We need your love. We thank you for your grace, but we proclaim again and again how great your love is. How great your love is, that you would first love us.